You're listening to a podcast from Trinity Church Buxton. For more information, please visit our website at trinitybuxton.org.uk.
Reading now, and you should find a Bible either underneath your chair or just in front of you. And if you could turn to page 1155, and Sarah is going to lead us in our Bible reading.
So it's page 1155. 1 Corinthians 15. Now, brothers, I want to remind you of the gospel I preached to you, which you received and by which you have taken your stand. By this gospel you are saved, if you hold firmly to the word I have preached to you. Otherwise, you have believed in vain. For what I received I passed on to you as of first importance, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day according to the scriptures, and that he appeared to Peter and then to the 12. After that, he appeared to more than 500 of the brothers at the same time, most of whom are still living, though some have fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles, and last of all, he appeared to me also, as to one abnormally born, for I am the least of the apostles, and do not even deserve to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace to me was not without effect. No, I worked harder than all of them. Yet, not I, but the grace of God that was with me. Whether then it is I or they, this is what we preach, and this is what you believe. This is the word of the Lord.
A bit more about that reading from 1 Corinthians 15 just now. So as we come to think more about God's word, let's pray and ask for his help. Let's pray. Loving Father, we do thank you that you are a speaking God, and we thank you that you have spoken to us primarily through your Son, and that we have your words in the scriptures in our hands this morning. Please speak to us by your Spirit through them, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So, can I encourage you to either have 1 Corinthians 15 open in front of you on page 1155, or it's also on your service sheet, just there. So have a look at one of either of those. And this morning, I want to ask you this question. How do you remember things? Do you remember them with post-its? Do you write things down on post-its? Or do you write things on your hand? Maybe, I don't know if anyone's ever done this, but I've heard about it. You can tie a knot and put it on your finger to remind you of something. I don't know if you've ever done that. You can set reminders on your phone. That's a bit more common. Some people can just do this. They say, oh, I'm going to remember that, and they log it in their heads. I have to write everything down. You might be entering a period of revision, and that might be how you remember things. You might write things on your calendar. So sometimes when I do the Trinity Kids kind of planning meetings, people come with their actual wall calendars off their kitchen wall. So that might be how you remind things. Paul, who often welcomes you in when you come in to church, who's on the front door, he often puts his car keys in the fridge. Now you have to ask him why he does that. But that's how he helps to remember things. There are lots of ways, different ways to remember things, okay? And this Easter Sunday, we are thinking about reminders. Now, hang on a minute, we'll just click back on that a sec. We are thinking about reminders because we are going to be reminded this morning about the gospel that has been preached to us. And that's a great thing to be reminded of. So have a look at verse 1, either on your handout or in the Bibles. It says this, "Now, brothers, I want to remind you of the gospel I preached to you, which you received and on which you've taken your stand. You see, it's a good thing to be reminded of things which you've heard in the past. Paul, who's writing to the church in Corinth, wants them to be reminded of the gospel. And it's good to be reminded of the gospel, but why? Because we're tempted to forget it. And we're tempted to forget its implications. Because as Christians, we are people who never move on from the gospel, from the good news that we're going to be reminded of. And so, can I ask you, regular members of Trinity, to keep Bob and I to account? Because we should be continually reminding you of the gospel. And this is just what Paul is doing in today's passage. Now, of course, there are still new things to learn, and we will always learn more about God's love for us from his word. But it is good to be reminded of the gospel. Why? Look down at verse 2, again on your handout or in the Bibles. Verse 2, by this gospel you are saved, if you hold firmly to the word I preach to you. Otherwise, you have believed in vain. Why should we be reminded of the gospel? Because if we hold on to the gospel, we are saved, says Paul. We're saved from hell. We're saved from what our sins deserve. If we don't keep remembering the gospel, if we give up on it, if we stop believing it, then we're told we've believed in vain. So this remembering of the gospel is actually serious. It's a life or death issue. You see, it's a bit like this. I've got my driving license here, okay? That's my driving license. If I forget how to drive and watch each foot does when I'm driving, then I'm both a massive danger to myself and to others. I need to remember the highway code. I need to remember how to drive. Otherwise, I will have passed my driving test in vain, because I'll do something wrong or dangerous and have my driving license taken away from me. It's a poor illustration, but it shows it a little bit. It's really important to keep on believing the gospel, because that's how we're saved. And it's really important we keep believing the gospel, because these are things on which, as Christians, we can't disagree on. So have a look down to verse 3. Paul says, for what I received, I passed on to you as of first importance. These things we're going to consider this morning are so important. They're matters of first importance that Christians should agree on. Let's see what they are. What does it say in verse 3? So, for what I received, I passed on to you as of first importance, that Christ died for our sins, according to the Scriptures. That is the first key element of the gospel that we need to be reminded of. That Christ died for our sins. That's a really important thing to remember. And of course, that's central, isn't it, to the Easter story, Jesus' death on the cross. It's what we particularly remembered on Good Friday. But you see, the key reason for Jesus' death is there in verse 3. Christ died for our sins. What is sin? Sin is rejecting God's rule. It's preferring to do things our own way. It's a bit like saying to God, you know what? I'm in charge. I want to do things my way, not your way. And that shows itself in lots of different ways. So I need a helper here. I need a helper to carry my rucksack of sin. Toby, come on down. Are you feeling strong?
Yeah.
Good, because it's quite heavy. Okay, can you... you're going to wear it as if you're a bit of... Hang on, other way around. Maybe as if... No, that's it. Look at that. As if you're a bit of a tourist somewhere, okay? This is kind of how sin shows itself. Because... You all right? It's quite heavy, isn't it?
A bit.
Yeah, it's going to get heavier. Sin kind of shows itself. When we're saying, you know, I want to do things my way, not God's way, we might lie. Might just be little white lies every now and then. It might be obvious things. So that's going to go in. There we go. Sorry, matey. Yeah. What else might we do? We might steal. It might only be the office stapler, but it's stealing. It might be more. There we go. We might be lazy. Ooh, I saw some grimaced faces there. Might be lazy. That's not what God wants us to be. Do you know what? Actually, saying things you want to do things our way rather than God's way might mean that we blaspheme God's name, where we take God's name in vain. That's not what God wants us to do. So that's another way of showing that maybe we're in charge. Are you right?
Yeah.
You're okay. He's okay. Next thing, saying unkind things. Or do you know what? Thinking unkind things in our hearts that nobody else would see. That's sin. That's not right. It's saying, I want to do things my way, not your way, God. Put it in the bag. And not being generous with what we have, with what we've been given. There's lots of other examples of how sin shows itself. Thanks, Toby. You're doing a great job. We carry those sins around us. And no matter how hard we try, the Bible is very clear that we can't fix our sin problem ourselves. We just can't. And sin is a problem because it separates us from God, stopping us from being his friend. That's why the first element of the gospel that we're reminding ourselves of today is so key, because Christ died for our sins. So it's a bit like this. Can I take this off you now, Toby? Good lad, well done. Toby's sins, Jesus died for them on the cross. He took on himself all of our sin. Thanks, Toby. You can take your seat now. It's the idea of having a substitute. Jesus taking our place. In fact, Toby, come back. Come back. Because it's better than Jesus just taking our sin away. Look, can you see? Toby's got no sin on him now because Jesus has taken it away on the cross. It's better than that because not just does Jesus take away our sin, he gives us, that's it, do you want to put your arms in? I think it's the right size. There we go. He gives us his righteousness, his kind of purity, his no sin. So it's not just like our sin is taken away, we get Jesus' righteousness in his place. It's an amazing swap that Christ died for our sins on the cross. This is the first thing we need to be reminded of the gospel. Well done, you can take your seat now, Toby. Thank you. Let's give him a clap. Well done, Tobes. You can keep it on if you want. Or you don't have to. And do you know what? This wasn't just some accidental, unfair miscarriage of justice when Jesus died on the cross. Did you notice the end of verse 3 there? It says, it was according to the scriptures. This was predicted both by Jesus before his death and also through the Old Testament in many places. So just show you one verse here from Isaiah 53, verse 5, written over 700 years before Jesus died. It says this, but he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him, and by his wounds we are healed. This is such great news that Jesus Christ died for our sins. And it's such great news that we should never want to move on from it. Have you known and experienced this good news for yourself? Have you accepted that Christ Jesus came into the world to die for your sins? Friends, there's no better day than Easter Day to turn and put your trust in Jesus as you recognize why he came to earth for you. To take away your sins, to remove for you that barrier between you and God. But that's not all. Look down to verse 4. That he was buried, that he was raised on the third day, according to the scriptures. The next key element of the gospel message that we must never move on from, is that Jesus was buried and was raised. He didn't stay dead. And this is, of course, what we remember on this wonderful Easter day, isn't it? That death was defeated. Jesus, can you see, he was buried. He really did die. That must be considered an historical fact. But the remarkable thing about it is not that Jesus died, but that he lived long enough to get to the cross itself. After all of the physical punishment an abuse that he suffered in the lead up to this crucifixion. Jesus died. And notice again, this was according to the scriptures. But he didn't just die, he was raised. As we're told in verse 4, again, according to the scriptures. And Jesus even predicted this before his death. So here's some verses here from Mark chapter 10. It says, "We are going up to Jerusalem," he said. This is Jesus speaking. "And the Son of Man will be betrayed, and the chief priests and teachers of the law, they will condemn him to death and will hand him over to the Gentiles, who will mock him and spit on him, flog him and kill him. 3 days later, he will rise." We see God's sovereign hand over history here, don't we, as he works out his plan of salvation. Now, I did mention earlier, didn't I, about the tent. I wonder what is inside the tent. If you're intrigued by what is inside the tent, you can come and have a look just now. Okay, so if you want to come and have a look what's inside the tent, now's the time. Here we go. Let's see. Right, have a careful look around, see if you can see what's inside. Well, they're all keen. Well, lots of children, this might be a bit of a...
People are in the tent.
People are in the tent, yes. Can you see anything? Wow, it's like one of those sardines thing, isn't it? How many kids can you fit in a tent on Easter Sunday? Right, coming up, what's in there, Joel?
Nothing.
Nothing. Nothing. This coming out, guys. Tell me what you found.
Nothing.
Pardon? Nothing. Nothing.
Except air.
Nothing.
Except we found the air and the tent.
All right. Come on out, guys. Well done. Toby, what did you find?
Floor.
Floor.
We found
oh dear.
The air and the tent. That's all we
Maisie,
found.
What did you find?
People.
Just people. Yeah, those
we
are the people that have got in.
People.
Great. Come on out now. Is that everybody? Nearly.
I found a bow.
Oh, that's Esther's bow. There we go. Thanks very much. Great. Come on out then. One more.
That's it.
Well done. There was nothing. Well done, Esther. There was nothing. You can have a go in there after the service. There was nothing. It's a surprise. There's nothing in there. That's just what the women found when they got to the tomb. It was empty. We are meant to be surprised by the gospel story. It's not what we see in everyday life. I did a funeral and a burial this week. And no one expects the person in the coffin to jump out. It just doesn't happen. Friends, don't lose the surprise of the Easter story. Jesus has defeated death. He was buried, yes, but he was raised. And not just did the disciples find an empty tomb, just like we've got an empty tent here, Jesus appeared to them. And we see the list of who he appeared to in verses 5 to 7. The resurrection is a believable thing, even on April Fool's Day. So like I say, please do take some of the resources from the back. But not just that. We regularly run a Christianity Explored course here at Trinity Church. An opportunity for you to investigate more the claims that Jesus makes and ask more about things like the resurrection. Our next course starts on Thursday, the 19th of April. You see, Christ died for sins and was buried and raised, all according to the scriptures. So let's bring this talk to a close this Easter Sunday. Whatever age you are, young or old, middle-aged or child, whatever age you are, can I remind you to stand firm in the truths of the gospel that brings salvation? That Christ died for sins according to the scriptures, that he was buried and he was raised on the third day. We must keep hold to these things because by them we're saved. And just a little note, it's Paul who preached this message that was passed on to him by the Lord Jesus after his resurrection and after his ascension, after he'd gone up to heaven. That's why Paul's a bit different to the other disciples and why he refers to himself as one abnormally born. But it is Paul and the other apostles who were set apart to preach this gospel message we've been thinking about this morning. So you can't be a Christian and say, oh, I like Jesus, but I'm not keen on Paul. Because to reject Paul, or any of the apostles for that matter, is actually to reject the gospel message that they preached, which Jesus passed on to them, which is the very gospel itself. We need to hold firm and be reminded of this simple but glorious gospel, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he was raised on the third day. So let's encourage each other to do this continually. Let's pray. Loving Father, thank you for these great gospel truths, that Christ Jesus died for our sins, that he was buried and raised on the third day. Please help us always to hold to these things and to find salvation in the name of Jesus, even on this Easter Sunday. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.